check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. Just, you know, living the dream. Did my civic duty, went and voted. So that was fun. For my local elections, nothing major.
Oh, they're all major.
Yeah, they are, to some degree.
They're all important. But, all right, well, that's, there you go. Always good to do your civic duty.
That's right.
Well, we're doing our civic duty, or at least our screamtastic duty today, as we are reviewing the movie Alien Romulus, which is out in theaters now. But before we get there, we have lots and lots to chat about. Before we dive in too deep, everybody be sure to check out the bonus episode that we just released, featuring an interview with Jason Levy, producer from Fuzz on the Lens Productions. We talked to him about Stream, Terrifier 3, much, much more. The interview is available in all of our usual podcast feeds. Plus, there's a very special video version available on YouTube. So as the podcast episode that we're recording now releases, Stream will be in the midst of its limited theatrical run. I think it's only out there for like 5 days. So if you listen to this during that range, go see it if you still can. We will be reviewing that movie next episode. Speaking of special interviews, we also have a special interview coming up with Ethan Henry, who co-wrote and directed the upcoming movie Severance Mountain. That interview will be released on Sunday, September 8th, so stay tuned for that. So before we get too far into it, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Well, honestly, not like a crap ton. Obviously, I watched Alien Romulus, which is the movie we're reviewing today. I have also been, you know, watching some Supernatural, watching some Five Nights at Freddy's gameplay. That's probably about it. So pretty much the same as it was last week.
Yeah, me too. I watched Alien Romulus, of course. I watched Supernatural, of course. I did watch our cheesy slasher of the week this week, which we'll talk about in a bit. And otherwise, horror related, I don't think I watched anything. Nope, I think that was it. So, all right, well then let's move on to our cheesy slasher of the week.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this episode we are talking about the movie Rabid Grannies. This movie is described as two sweet little old ladies fall victim to an ancient curse that transforms them into bloodthirsty killers. The movie was released in June 12, 1989, written and directed by Emmanuel Curvin, starring Catherine Amire and Carolyn Breckman, among others. The cast that recorded this movie were all French-speaking, and they struggled with lines because they tried to record it in English. They struggle with lines, often having to pronounce them phonetically. Later, English actors overdubbed the dialogue, and they had to follow the odd speech patterns. If you watch the movie, you can see that there are times when it looks a little peculiar, and the speech pattern is a little peculiar. I couldn't find his name, but it says that the special effects creator for this movie was 18 years old, and there are plenty of effects in it. Not the greatest in the world. They're decent. They're okay. But there's quite a bit, but he's only 18 years old. Despite the title of the movie, there are no rabies in the film. And the two women in it are actually there's a family in the film, and they're actually aunts to everybody. They're not grandmas. So there are no rabid grannies in this movie. I'm not sure. I guess rabid granny sounds a little catchier. I don't know why they went that way. Almost all of the cast and crew worked for free. Most of the crew members were film students. But later, when the movie was actually released and started making some money, they did sue the producer for pay, but they have never received any. There were plans for a sequel, but due to the lawsuit, it never happened. I'm not sure what they would have done for a sequel to this, but that might be a bullet dodged. But the shooting for the movie took 6 consecutive weeks, and they sometimes filmed up to 17 hours a day. So it was a pretty strenuous question. A lot of it was in a castle, and they said the castle had no heat or anything, and at times it was very cold. It was apparently a bit rough, but often low-budget movies are. They don't have the best circumstances. So the movie is it's cheesy. It's definitely cheesy, definitely a little goofy, a little peculiar. And if you would like to watch it, it is available to watch on Shudder now. So go check out the Rabid Grannies, which are actually like demonic ants. They're not really Rabid Grannies. So anyway, let's move on to our next segment.
Talk to us, Internet!
And this is the new segment that we debuted last episode called Talk to Us, Internet, where we either pick up some feedback from a listener or just some discussion going online that's something that we want to key in on. And this time, I picked up on a general discussion that Stream, the movie we mentioned earlier that we're reviewing next week, and by the time this drops, we'll have just debuted. They're limited theatrical release as part of like an iconic events type thing, right? That's how a lot of these films get these theatrical releases. Like I said, it was only planned for 5 days, limited theaters. But there's a lot of chatter online from a lot of people that several of the showings were dropped that had been originally planned at some theaters. And I don't know what percentage. I don't know if it's a large chunk or not. I'm not sure how, you know, the portion of it. Whatever I'm trying to say. Anyway, some of these showings have been dropped. And some people were alleging that it was due to some demand from bigger studios for more screens for high-profile movies. Not that these bigger studios said, oh, drop Stream. But just saying, oh, you know, you have to have it show it on X amount of screens. So they had to drop some of the Stream to meet that demand. So a lot of people are talking about, you know, it's just, another challenge for independent films as they try to do, you know, get released and do theatrical things. But a lot of people did talk about how it has reiterated the importance of the pre-sales for independent movies such as this. I have heard chatter that, I don't know the basis. I heard different things online. I've heard things that even if they sell one ticket to a showing, they cannot drop it. I've heard other people say if it's so much percent, they can't drop it. I don't know what it is. But I will tell you this, if I would almost guarantee that if a showing was sold out, they're probably not going to drop it. So it's important that people get out and pre-buy their tickets for these kinds of things when possible to support these. Like we said, you know, we talked about it with Stream. You know, to go out and do that, support it, buy your tickets, go to multiple showings, and see if we can't get it prolonged, see if we can't get it out there a little longer, but, you know, and to avoid this kind of thing. So Ike, what do you think of all this? Again, I don't know, you know, what's hearsay, I don't know how much, I do know there were some showings dropped. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So I don't, now the reasoning, I don't know, you know, how much truth there is behind it. I don't know whether anything is, proven. It could just be, it could just be low ticket sales for these showings. And they think, oh, throwing up another show, you know, another screen of Alien Romulus or whatever is going to make them more money. So, you know, any case, it's not a good thing. And I hate to see this. So what do you think?
Well, I can say from personal experience that this is indeed happening. So basically I'll spin a little yarn for you guys. Basically, in the area that I'm in, we have two movie theaters. We have a kind of a bigger, more, I would say, foot traffic theater. It's closer to like our mall. And we have another one that's all closer. Not, I don't want to say that much closer to where I am, but it's a little bit closer to where I am. And we generally go to the smaller theater, which is the one that's closer. The bigger theater it's just a little busier. So only one of our theaters got stream, and the showtimes, I didn't think they'd put up all of them, because we were waiting for them to put up all the showtimes, because there's only like a handful. There's like one on Wednesday when the movie releases. There's like one on Friday, one on Saturday, and one on Sunday. And they were at really random and weird times, really no rhyme or reason to it. So we were like, okay, well, let's just wait to see when the rest of the showtimes go up. Surely this is not all the showtime. Surely they're just getting things worked. And believe it or not, we went and checked it today, and the rest of their showtimes are up for the week, but they pulled down all the showtimes but one. So the only showtime that I could possibly go to is going to be on Wednesday night. And like, here's the thing. I get it to a degree that if they think that a movie is going to sell better, why they would want to pull that movie. But at the same time, I just feel like there has to be some sort of contractual obligation that they have to, like, having so many showings in a theater. Like, you know, that's the, and again, I could be wrong. I have no idea how this works behind the scenes, but like, I just feel like it's weird that they can just pull screenings of a film, despite the fact that presumably Scream, you know, Fuzz on the Lens production, everything else are paying for a slot, I would assume. So it's just weird to me that they can just be like, yeah, we're just going to pull these screenings, so you only get, basically, because basically at the theater, what I'm getting to is I only have one screening. There's only one showtime, and it's Wednesday at like, I think like 8 or 9 p.m. or something like that. So it's just weird that they can do that, and that they are doing that, you know, again, because I would presume that, you know, they have some sort of contract in place, but I digress.
Yeah, but but the thing is, we don't know the details of these agreements. Like we said, maybe some of the details in, if at least one ticket sold, or at least so many tickets are sold, they can't drop it. Maybe that's where that's coming from. Maybe that's in the agreement, right? We will show this as long as X happens, right? Or whatever. If this doesn't happen by this date, we can drop. And also, we do know, right, that they're going through, like we said, this iconic event. So perhaps their agreement was with iconic events. We don't know what that, you know, what that means, or what that, you know, consists of. So, I don't know. It's a very weird thing. I hate seeing it. Because, you know, we're big supporters, big fans of independent films in general. But really, you know, with the Fuzz on the Lens stuff especially. But again, if this movie's got a lot of buzz, a lot of support online, you know, if people are, you know, everybody's putting their money where their mouth is and actually going, you know, buying tickets, going to see it, whatever it may be, you know, this, it could avoid all this, right? I mean, so, you know, this is why we stress the importance of seeing these movies and supporting these movies, because, you know, some of them, that's the only thing they can fall back on, right? The only thing they can stand on is what they're doing, right? What they're producing, because they don't have the clout to pull that, right? They, you know, if
some other studio or production company where there was an incident, right? And we've seen it in the past, right? It comes up where there's an issue with something. Well, this production company can say, well, look, if you don't do this, then we won't release our future movies to your theater chain. And that's a lot of times, you know, that's not going to happen, right? They're not going to let that happen. Well, these, you know, independents, they don't have that kind of pull. They don't have that kind of club. They don't have anything to try to leverage or maneuver or negotiate with, per se. They rely pretty much solely on fan support. So that's why it's important. And I hate to see that. I know it's probably impacting a lot of people, and you know, it's obviously if it's affecting the choices of people, to what they can see and where they can see it, and who knows, there's even locations that's dropped it completely. I don't know. That sucks. And we just need to don't take anything for granted, right? Terrifier 3 is coming out. We know it's a big hype release this year. There's rumors that AMC is going to do a popcorn bucket and this, all this stuff, right? It's big. But if it doesn't draw, then you know the next one's not gonna. They're not gonna give it the same treatment just because. So we gotta, you know, we gotta make sure that we support it for what the, you know, equivalent to the buzz. So right. So do it. So and so that's that. That's so that's the discussion for Talk to Us Internet. Again, we're not, you know, we don't know what's all the details of what's what and everything, obviously. But bottom line, just make sure you're supporting horror in theaters,
yeah,
and the streaming services and physical media and in merchandise. Just support, right? Just do what you can, and support, and you know, with enough support, we can avoid some of these issues and some of these problems. So, all right, then let's move on.
Generation Gap.
And this episode, we are going to do Generation Gap. Because of the recent anniversary of the in-movie events, which those occurred on August 18th, 1973, I guess I should explain what this is a little bit. Generation Gap is where Ike was born in 95, right? 95?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just making sure for those listening. So since there's an age difference between Ike and I, we use his birth year as a dividing point, because you know in his birth year I was 20 years old, so that's a good you know good stance, and I pick a movie pre 1995 or Ike picks a movie post 1995, and the other co-host will give a counter movie from their period. So it doesn't, you know, how, you know, it's not like. There's not like a lot of written rules here, right? It doesn't have to be like it's a scene for scene equivalent movie, but something has the same vibe, same flavor, same kind of that same appeal that if you like one, you'll probably like the other. So it's kind of an old versus new. That's why we call it a generation gap. Not a versus. Versus is not good because it's not a competition. It's just just a comparison. So anyway, like I said, the events in this movie occur August 18th, 1973, which was just recently. Or at least August 18th, the anniversary of it. So the pre-1995 movie that I am picking and presenting to Ike is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974. So Ike, do you have a post-1995 movie to counter with?
I sure do.
All right. Well, lay it on us. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So real quick, just a little clarification. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is what is considered to be a... so it's a lot of things, but it falls into the category of what's called as a grindhouse film. Mm-hmm. Grindhouse is defined by low budget, explicit content, sensational themes, and stylistic excess. So basically, Texas Chainsaw Massacre has a lot of those, you know, unique properties. It's a very low budget, very explicit, very sensational film. And so I would say it definitely depicts a very early version of the grindhouse style. And so looking at all of the different types of films that fall into this category, the one that to me seems the most like Texas Chainsaw from after 1995 would be House of a Thousand Corpses by Rob Zombie.
Okay.
Now, obviously, you know, we have our problems with Mr. Zombie, but House of a Thousand Corpses is still a decent movie. I would say that it fits the theme of a grindhouse film, but it is also very similar in concept to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know, with the kidnapping of, like, you know, people on the road, having like a tourist trap to basically trap them and take them back to the house. I don't necessarily think that they eat them, I don't think, in House of a Thousand Corpses, but they do like experiment on them and stuff, and they do some weird shit. But yeah, so I think that would be my comparison here.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good choice. We're critical on Rob Zombie. We're not a big fan of most of stuff, but this is probably my favorite Rob Zombie movie. So, So if I had to pick one to watch, this would be it. So, all right. Well, good choice. There you have it. Pre-1995, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, post-1995, House of a Thousand Corpses. So there you go. If you're looking for a Generation Gap double feature, we just laid it out for you. So, let us know what you think. So, all right, that takes care of all those segments, all the intros, and everything else. But we've got a lot more ahead. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dive right back in. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. Starting us off, we have some news about the original Nightmare on Elm Street. It's getting a 4K Ultra HD release digitally on October 1st with physical media release on October the 15th. So for those of you who are into the physical media, you know, especially the remasters and Ultra HD and all that good jazz, you're going to get your wishes here with Nightmare on Elm Street getting that remaster. I know a lot of movies are slowly but surely getting that treatment. So, yeah, keep an eye out for your favorite movie to be remastered.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good deal. I will probably pick this up on physical media. I don't have it currently in my physical library. So this would be a good copy to pick up.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good collector's item. If I had to give a, you know, a, hey, collect this type deal, but good stuff. And then, of course, it has been officially announced that Terrifier 3 will make its world premiere as part of the Fantastic Fest in Austin. In case you didn't know, Austin is in Texas. Austin, Texas. And this is going to happen on September 21st. It has also been announced that the runtime is officially 2 hours and 8 minutes. I believe this is longer than both T1 and T2.
It's about 10 minutes shorter than T2.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's just slightly shorter. I think it's just a little bit shorter. Not much. I mean, we're talking just within 15 minutes, I believe. But yeah, definitely longer than T1 as well.
Gotcha.
But yeah, but it's a, you know, so basically it's basically the virtually the same as T2, just, you know, just a few minutes off. So
I gotcha. Well, there you go. Obviously, we're both excited about this being premiered. But also, it's good to know the runtime. You know, I know Dave in particular is sometimes critical of movies that are too long. You know, he is of the generation of 90-minute horror movies, if not shorter. So, you know, like 100-minute runtime max. So it'll be interesting to see how they do with the 2 hour and 8 minutes of time. And I'm very excited to see it. Obviously, we won't see it on the 21st, but we'll see it the following month.
Yeah, the 2 hour plus runtime doesn't phase before Terrifier movie though. I'm
That's
good. I'm good. But you know, yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to be in Austin, but you know, not gonna happen. So maybe in the future we can make some of these debuts and things and get out there and do some of these things, but you know, not yet.
Right. One day. Or as the what's that song? Oh man. I just listened to it just the other day. It's the song Someday by the Strokes. Someday. Mm. There you go. Yeah. Anywho. Always had to sing during these, I guess. It's just how I do it. But anywho, reportedly, Crystal Lake, the Friday 13th prequel series, is back on track with some new blood. Wink, wink. Brad Caleb Kane is now brought on as the new showrunner. Kane recently was the co-showrunner for Welcome to Derry, the It prequel. So I would say that's pretty good hands. You know, having experience with an existing IP making a prequel, especially in television format, is a very unique situation. So him having done it with Welcome to Derry might bode well. We've not seen Welcome to Derry, so who knows if it's any good, but assuming that it is, Crystal Lake is in good hands.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just happy to see something, to know that it's not dead. And you know, I you know, it's at least got forward movement. I mean, again, this is not nothing official has been put out there yet. I don't guess, but all the major outlets have been reporting this, so I think it's probably all but confirmed. So yeah, hopefully we can get some progress now, and let's get this thing made. I'm dying to see it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's just, it's crazy because it's already been through so much in terms of like media presence, people stepping down, people stepping in. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Long Legs. Oh, I love that movie. The, I can't stop quoting the scene where he's driving and he's like, oh man.
Oh yeah.
Anywho, Long Legs recently passed the $100 million at the box office, which makes it the highest grossing indie film, horror or otherwise, of 2024 so far. This is obviously great news. Not only is Long Legs a fantastic film, but the overarching creation production house, I think it's called Neon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They obviously made good movies prior to Long Legs, but including Long Legs. So it's good to see some success in this genre. Maybe we'll see a Long Legs prequel or something one day. I feel like that'd be cool. Or some other kind of IP in that realm. So, but yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, when a movie, you know, makes that much money, that's good for that independent production company. And, obviously, gives them lots of opportunities in the future. So it's cool. They made a great movie. So it's cool that now they got a lot of creative options opened up financially speaking. So we get to see what they can do next.
Yeah, no, 100%. And maybe we'll see Nicolas Cage in another horror film sometime.
Plus, yeah, I mean, let's don't undermine that. I mean, yeah, good for Nick Cage. And who was the girl? I can't remember.
Micah Monroe.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, you know, great for them too, because let's don't undermine their place and the money this film made. I mean, you could have a great story, but without those two delivering the goods on screen, it's not going to get there. So that gives them some clout, something to put in their cap of, hey, you know what we did.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. And I think that's it for our news this week. So we're going to move on to some upcoming birthdays. We have two very important ones, I would say. We have August 22nd, 1920, Ray Bradbury, author of Fahrenheit 451, Martian Chronicles, and Something Wicked This Way Comes. I would say that Ray Bradbury, while maybe not exclusively or explicitly horror, does write some pretty daunting and haunting things, such as Fahrenheit 451, which is a very, I would say, crucial dialogue about society and yeah, you know, the importance of reading and knowledge and everything else. So
yeah, I love Ray Bradbury, one of my favorite authors, and yeah, he does. I mean, there's obviously a lot of sci-fi-ish to it, but yes, there's definitely some horror to it and everything else. He's a great, it was a great writer.
And I believe I would venture to guess that he has passed, if I remember correctly.
I assume
he's pretty old.
Be 104 years old. So yeah, I got to think. Yeah, he's got to be. Come on, I mean.
Yeah, he passed in 2012 at the age of 91.
There you go. All right.
Very good. Long life lived with a lot of creativity. So can't beat that. And then, of course, August 25th, 1958, a man of many faces, Tim Burton. Batman Returns, Edward Scissorhands, Nightmare Before Christmas, and Beetlejuice, and many, 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 many more. Tim Burton, I mean, what has Tim Burton not done is the better question. But I will tell you this, Tim Burton makes 99% of his movies with two actors. That would be good old Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter. If you gave a trivia question, what Tim Burton film stars Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp, you'd have like at least 10 options. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, I love Tim Burton's movies, man. I mean, Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice were two of my favorites when I was younger. You know, Nightmare Before Christmas is a modern classic. And then, you know, anybody that's listened knows, you know, dude made my Batman. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, so love me some Tim Burton. And I don't know what his involvement with the Beetlejuice is. I don't know. I don't think he's, you know, directing or I'm not sure. I don't think he's directly. I mean, I don't know if he has a creative input in it. I'm not sure.
It looks like he's a producer.
There you go. So
based on what this is saying,
which could, you know, who knows what that means, whether, you know, whether he did have some creative ideas, some input, or whether it's just because of his involvement with the first one, you know, just his name's on the movie. But it doesn't matter. Obviously, because of what he did with the first one is why we're getting the second one. So,
true.
Yeah. So, and we're looking forward to that.
I was going to say his very involvement in the film is just, it's a very positive thing, very positive sign, if you will. Yeah. But that's it for birthdays. So, not a whole lot this week in birthdays, but we have a few upcoming night movie anniversaries. I started to read that first line.
Hopefully, we have many upcoming nights because.
Hopefully. That was kind of ominous.
You have one upcoming night.
your upcoming nights are numbered. That's a very ominous threat. Take that how you will.
It's a very peculiar way to threaten someone, isn't it?
Right. It's weird. It's, speaking of ominous threats, I heard a good one the other day. It says the best way to scare somebody and also concern them deeply is say, "I will shit your pants." That's going to concern them. They're going to be thinking about how it is that you're going to accomplish that. So that's a good threat.
Yeah, that'll leave them a little perplexed.
Anywho, upcoming movie anniversaries, August 22nd, 1986, Night of the Creeps. I don't think that I have ever seen this movie. So, Dave, have you seen this movie?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a fun movie. It's got Tom Atkins is in it from Halloween 3 and other movies. But yeah, it's a pretty fun movie. I advise anybody to go watch it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just looked it up. It seems like kind of like a zombie-ish movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. Very good. We'll check it out sometime. I like the zombies. But moving on to August 22nd, 1986. The same day, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. It is, by and large, one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen, but it is very funny and very enjoyable, I would say.
It is such a fun movie to watch. It is one of those movies that I absolutely love so much because it's just fun and so hilarious. Obviously not as good as the first, but I would push come shove. I think it's a funner movie to watch. More fun movie to watch. It's super enjoyable.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It's one of those movies that do not take a lot of brain power to just watch. I mean, you can just sit there and just be like, turn your brain off and just enjoy some stupid slasher goodness. 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, and a lot of the things that people think of when they think Texas Chainsaw Massacre are from this movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, I mean, it just is. It's just, I mean, you know, a lot of some, you know, the characters and different things and whatnot, they come from this. They don't come from the first. You know, a lot of those things that have integrated themselves into pop culture and people's memories are actually from this.
It's weird how that happens, how sequels sometimes have more relevance than the original. Not to say the original is not important, because it is, but you are correct. A lot of like the pop culture nods and some of the, you know, more prolific, I guess, memes, I guess you could say, are from this one.
Yeah, and even merchandising and stuff. A lot of the figures and different things that comes from this. And, you know, I'm guessing after the success of the first, I'm seeing that this was in 1986 and it had Dennis Hopper in it and things like that. And I'm sure it had a bigger push and release behind it. Awesome. And I'm sure, you know, I haven't looked, but I'm sure it did well. So, you know, that's probably a big part of it. You know, it's just out there more. Probably more people went to theaters and saw it and remember it. How many people probably was this the first one they saw? You know, I bet there was a substantial chunk of people that really, you know, hadn't seen the first one because it's, you know, home video was not as prolific yet prior to 86. You know, not everybody had a VCR yet. And so, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of people that saw this was their first Massacre movie.
Yeah, so absolutely. Well, there you have it. And then moving on to our next film, also released on August 22nd, but not on the same year. It's released many years later, 2023. The film Subject. This is actually a film we reviewed, so it is in the archives. And I had to look this up to remind myself, but I do remember this movie. It was actually very good. It's it was kind of released along with like a string of like other movies that I remember from Screambox. Like the Creepypasta movie was released around the same time, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I remember I liked this. I remember I liked it pretty well.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of details about it, and I've not rewatched it since. So I was trying to see if I could see what rating we gave it. Let me see if I can. But yeah, I don't know. I don't remember a lot of details about this movie. Yeah, it seems like was there a creature in it? We gave it a 3.5. So. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it is a prisoner. He's on his way to jail, but the convoy gets stopped and it's intercepted by like a secretive government agency.
Yeah, doesn't he have a way to earn his freedom or something? Is that what it is? Is like instead of going to or not necessarily instead of going to prison, he can watch this thing or this subject, quote unquote, and right? Isn't that what it is? He says that.
Yeah, he sits in her, like his only job is to sit in her room and like watch a monitor all day. And like at first he doesn't see anything, but eventually he sees something. Yeah. So it kind of makes you question, like, is he actually seeing something or is he going crazy or, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember. It was a pretty decent movie. And you don't get hear a lot of talk about it. If any of the listeners have not seen it yet, then you're looking for something to watch. That's when you can go back and pick up and watch. It's pretty decent. And if you want to hear our opinions on it first, then go back and find that episode.
Yeah, 100%. And then moving right along to August 25th, 2016, Don't Breathe. Don't Breathe is a pretty decent little flick. It's, you know, nothing crazy, but it's definitely interesting. It's disturbing, too. It's not too shabby, but it's definitely a little weird. I'll say that.
Yeah, is this the movie that we had a wives rebuttal about?
No, that was the movie by the guy who makes like Haunting of Hill House. This one's the guy one with the blind guy who.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember the movie, but I couldn't remember. I don't know why I was thinking this was, I don't know, confusing things. But yeah, I remember Don't Breathe. It was all right. It wasn't. Was that my favorite? Didn't they make it? Wasn't there a Don't Breathe 2?
Yep, there sure was.
Was it, how direct from the first was it? Did it have a lot of the same people or was this kind of a leeching off the name kind of?
If I remember correctly, Don't Breathe 2 has, it's like the same old guy, but like it's essentially like an entirely new cast of people. Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm not knocking that. I'm just, you know, I've never seen the second one. So.
Right. Yeah. But the movie you're thinking of is Hush.
Hush. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, hey, it's similar.
Don't Hush.
In name.
Hush. Right. Which also, fun fact. That. The director of Don't Breathe is Fede Alvarez,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Directed Alien Romulus.
Didn't even think about that, but there you go. All kinds of connections today.
Yes, indeed.
Or at least one connection today. I don't know if there's
Hey, maybe more. We don't know. We don't know yet.
Yeah, this is for you at home to play along.
That's right. Yeah, you guys got to find the other connections. It's like little Easter eggs.
What's right. that? What's that blue? You found a clue.
Right. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from. All right. Enough singing.
We do too much of that. It's going to be from Nickelodeon.
It really, right. We're going to get the letter from Nickelodeon.
Oh, cease and desist.
Dave, we just got a letter. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from. Oh no, it's a cease and desist letter from the Nickelodeon Corporation.
Dude, I have to say, I know it doesn't fit into anything, any format of anything I do, but I would absolutely love someday to interview Steve Burns.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Such seems like such a cool dude, such a good guy.
He's on TikTok. He like posts inspirational messages.
Yes, because they're so cool. It's because it's like he's talking to you, you know. And he's like, it's at first it's kind of just weird. Like, oh, how are you? And he sits there like he's listening to you. Like, oh, what's happening here? I've seen some of those.
You're like, hey, what are you doing there, boss?
I think we ought to do that, but put a scream twist on it. But you know,
right?
Do it in a creepy way. Okay, never mind. We got sidetracked somehow. I don't know how we went from Don't Breathe to getting sidetracked to Blue's Clues.
Yeah, I don't know. We're talking about Texas Chainsaw. We're talking about Don't Breathe, Feed Alvarez, connections.
Natural, just a natural flow of thoughts, right? I mean, everybody has. If anybody out there has the weird conglomeration of loves and interests that I do, that doesn't surprise, you know, because if you scroll through my social media posts, you know, you can. It goes everything from horror movies to baseball to Motorhead to Bluey to Sesame Street to, I mean, I love so many different things that it's a weird little stew in my head.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Good old stew, a little bit of geek stew, if you will.
Yeah. All right, let's bring it back.
Yeah, I would say we'll bring it back from the cease and desist from Nickelodeon.
I'd just be honored to hear from Nickelodeon.
I would too. If I got a cease and desist from Nickelodeon, like I would be like a little mad, but at the same time, I'd be like, well, they've acknowledged me, so.
I guarantee you that bitch is going to be framed on the wall.
Oh, 100%. I can't remember who it was. There's actually a TikToker YouTuber I watch, who got a cease and desist letter from Disney. So he has that frame, but to be fair, it doesn't take much to get one from Disney. You just gotta mention something, some property of theirs, and they get mad.
Yeah.
See, I said Disney, so they're probably going to get mad at me for saying their name.
Woohoo! Make sure you send us two copies.
Right? Listen, the Disney secret police are going to come and murder me.
All right,
and then my wife won't be able to sue them because we signed the arbitration clause because we signed up for Disney Plus.
There you go. And in forthcoming news, apparently I'll be looking for a new co-host next episode.
Yeah, I was going to say. I kid. But hey, that's modern events there, folks. That's social commentary. That's what you sign up for when you come and watch us.
I don't know about that, but that's what they get.
That's right.
I don't know if they're signing up for it, but damn it, that's what you're getting.
Amen, brother. All right.
So wait a minute. What's this podcast about anyway? Oh, it's...
Yeah, right.
about horror movies, right? Okay, do it.
We're talking about the Disney secret. We went deep. We got to the Disney secret police. That's how you know we got deep.
Look, I love Disney. I love so much about Disney, right? So many of their movies, properties, whatever else. But there's truly some horrific things about Disney that would completely fit into a podcast like this. So.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm just waiting for the, like... I'm just waiting for like you hear a gun cocking, like a
hear that clicking noise in our connection. that used to be the movie signal that your lines tapped.
Here you go. Ready?
Dude, they somehow tapped into our live recording.
Right? They're just like, I am not reading from a script. Disney is not forcing me to say this. I kid. We better stop. We're gonna get. They might come after us now.
So here's the thing, right? I mean, we can do all this, but no one may. They may not hear it because come Thursday, when actually maybe drop is a dramatic rendition of the original script of Bambi or something. That just,
right.
That's gonna show up in the place of a. Good Lord. Of that. So. That's okay, yeah, Disney. Yeah. If you want to give us a problem, let's have a discussion. We're talking about Song of the South.
Right, I was gonna say, because Song of the South is Is where's Walt Disney's head? Is his head still frozen somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. You heard the conspiracy theory that the reason they released Frozen was so that way when you Google Walt Disney Frozen, news about Walt Disney's head doesn't come up.
Oh, that's classic.
All right. It makes sense to me. I kid.
That sounds like fact.
Right. Hey, it's on the internet, right? Not kid. We better move on before we get too far off track here. The train's derailed. Need to get back on.
Hopefully the listeners are still with us.
Yeah, right. Through all that Disney talk.
Hey, and you know what's the funny thing about all of this, right? We have talked in the past about sometimes when I get rambling or get this and that, I've had an adult beverage or whatever. Maybe I've had none today. So this is absolutely 100% sober Dave right now. That's having these discussions.
All natural.
So. That if that ain't gonna stick in your head and fucking rot, I don't know what will.
Right.
Welcome to Monica's world.
Right.
All right, let's go. What we got? We're up to upcoming releases, right?
Yeah, we got three upcoming releases.
What the hell's coming up besides that Disney Assassin?
Right. Other than our impending doom by the definitely not staged deaths. The movie we mentioned earlier, Severance Mountain, will be coming to video on demand on Friday, September 13th. It is it is described as, after a tragic loss, two friends reunite for a camping trip. But when police discover a dead body on the mountain, they fear an unknown killer may be hunting unsuspecting tourists. Once again, we do have an interview with co-writer and director Ethan Henry releasing on September 8th. So this will be released ahead of the September 13th release. With some nice little juicy details for all you wonderful folks out there. So
yeah.
Make sure you are keeping a lookout for that and a lookout for the movie on video on demand.
Yeah, I was already, I was already intrigued by this by seeing the trailer and everything, hearing about it. But after talking to Ethan, man, I'm super pumped. I can't wait to see this thing. Ethan was such a cool dude. And we say it with every one of these interviews, but this one, probably more than any, you got to watch the video version, man. Because I don't know, man. Ethan was in his tattoo shop, and it was so cool, and it was just it was killer, and it was super fun. It was a super fun talk without giving away any spoilers for the movie, but it does give you the vibe, the gist, the mindset behind it, and man, I love Ethan's. I love his train of thought as a filmmaker, and that I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, and also not to mention, this is a very fun interview because we got to interview someone before we saw the movie. So we didn't have anything really to talk about with the movie. We just got to kind of talk about his creative process and everything else. So it was a little bit of a different interview than what we normally do. So,
yeah,
definitely check it out. Like you said, the video is great. Ethan Henry, he's a very unique guy, too, because he's got a big old beard and he had the Severance Mountain T-shirt on.
He's wild, man. He's in a metal band. Yeah, he owns a tattoo parlor. He skates. I've seen the online videos of him skate. I mean, what a fun dude, man. And isn't that us? Isn't that horror? I mean, that's what we are, right? I mean,
we
don't give a shit about anything, man. We just have a good time, right? We just want to have fun and enjoy things. And I think that's why horror is just the best community. And Ethan's just a prime example of that. And again, we say it, man, at the top of every show. Our podcast, man, we pride on, it just feels like you're sitting down, chatting movies with some friends and everything else. And right when we get sidetracked enough, that's what happens when you talk. And and it's the same with our interviews, right? Yeah, we're talking to them and we're asking them questions, directed questions about their projects and this and that. But, I think we do a pretty good job of picking up when something, we can go off script a little bit and something's interesting and feeding back because, everybody we've interviewed, man, we've really hit it off well with. And I do feel like, we just met them all, but it does feel like talking to a friend. And it's because it's that instant vibe, that instant click with the love of horror, man. You just feel like you've known them forever and you can instantly have this, fun conversation with them. So, so that's my rousing endorsement that people need to make sure don't sleep on our interviews. They're a lot of fun. I know maybe you're here for the goofy ass reviews and news, and I'm glad you enjoy all that. But I hope nobody skips the interviews because they're a lot of fun, and it's a whole different aspect, the side of our show that we get to do and throw out there. And hell, it's bonus content, man. We're giving you extra. So, but they're a blast. I love doing them. I love talking to people, that I have, share passions with. And it's so cool. And we've got more coming in the future, right? We've got a lot of people we're talking to about doing them, a few that we're pretty much scheduled to do, and more, some interest out there. There's going to be a lot of these coming up in the future. And the cool thing with them is there's no pressure, right? We do a review every week, but the interviews are just like, man, when it comes up, we do them. It's very organic, and it's really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on, we have Hellhole coming to Shudder on August 23rd.
Hellhole, the description for this episode of the Pulse of the Screams.
For real, though. Oh, Lord. But it looks like it is described as an American-led fracking crew and covers a French soldier frozen in time from a Napoleonic campaign whose body hosts a parasitic monster. This sounds like Captain America meets the Thing. So, I guess it's Captain France meets the Thing. But yeah, I'll check this out. I like the concept of a parasitic monster being frozen inside of the body of a French soldier. It sounds like an interesting time.
Yeah. I just love the word fracking, and it's just such I mean, my mind is completely off because it is also a word that was in Battlestar Galactica, and it was kind of, frack was kind of a substitution for fuck, and it was a kind of a curse word, and so that's what I have always thought. So anytime I hear fracking, I'm like a 13-year-old kid kind of chuckling.
Right.
But this sounds intriguing, and I like it. I mean, it sounds original, right? I mean, it doesn't sound like a carbon copy of other, another horror movie recently, right? So it's a little different. So, yeah, we've seen parasitic monsters. Hell, we're going to fucking talk about them today. And our review today pretty much I don't know if they're parasites, but you know what I mean? Anyway, but it's, we've seen, frozen soldiers and blah, 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 but there's a lot of room to do something there. So we'll see. But I'll give it a watch. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Always give a good watch to a Shudder movie. And lastly, The Funeral comes to Screambox on August 27th. The Turkish movie is described as Simmel drives a hearse for a living. He's entrusted with secretly carrying the body of a young girl at the request of her family. One night he hears strange groans from the back of the truck, even though the girl hasn't got a pulse. So this looks like an interesting film. I like the idea of foreign films. Generally they usually produce some good stuff, but also it's an interesting concept. Love the idea of it being either like a ghost monster or a zombie potentially. So I'll check it out.
I think the descriptions call it a slow burn take on the zombie genre. So I think it's leaning towards zombie, but who knows, right? Who knows until we get into it, what they really do. So yeah, sounds pretty fun. Sounds pretty cool. I have to once again chuckle at the fact that the last two movies we mentioned are Hellhole and The Funeral, both of which can be very descriptive terms for today's episode of Listen to the Screams.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why I'm on that. I'm just beating a dead horse, though. All right.
It happens. You beat that horse until it's dead. That's what we do.
See, this is why I drink before we record typically, because I think it calms me down. Most people get worse when they drink. I think it improves me.
You're like, drinking mellows me out, man.
That it does. I don't get drunk. I just get nice and mellow and calm.
I get sleepy. It makes me tired.
I do too. If I drink enough, I do. I do too. I get very. It definitely relaxes me. So, anyway, let's don't get too far off track yet again.
But I think that pretty much does it. I think that's all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. As always, this is the perfect time for you guys to take a moment and follow us on social media. I know that we get a little off track sometimes, but on social media, we very rarely do. We just post our stuff and we go about our time. We like to, interact with you guys as well and, make sure you guys are kept up to date on anything that's coming out. And sometimes, we talk about news on the show. Sometimes that news breaks before the show, and we like to talk about it online before then. So best way to stay in the loop, follow us on social media. When we come back, we will have our official review of this week's film, Alien Romulus. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, welcome back to Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Alien Romulus. The movie was released August 16th into theaters. It grossed $41.5 million domestically on its opening weekend to land in the number one spot. Movie was written by Fede Alvarez and Rodos Segus. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that name. Directed by Fede Alvarez, starring Kaylee Spaney, David Johnson, Archie Renaud, and others. As we mentioned last episode, this is the seventh installment in the Alien franchise, and this movie is set between the events of 1979's Alien and 1986's Aliens. And I want to start right off the bat by saying this movie definitely, stylistically, to me, did it fit right in there between those two. I think they did a really good job of getting that vibe, that look, that style, making it, you know, feel like that's where it should be set. So kudos to them. I did have a point I wanted to talk about, but for the sake of not being too spoilery, I'm not going to, after all. I have second thoughts. I will say it was very cool to see a familiar face in the movie. And that's I'll leave it at that. So I'm not going to talk about it. I thought about, you know, I had all these plans to talk about it because it was so cool. And I thought, oh, no, you're giving away a lot of stuff there. So anyway, familiar face in the movie. Very cool. Glad to see it. Like how they utilized it. And everything else. I enjoyed the movie. We laughed earlier about the length of movies. I think this movie, I think it could have been trimmed down a little.
Yeah.
I think it was a little long. And I do think there was a lot of non-productive time. Not a lot, but there was enough, some non-productive time that could have been trimmed out. When it first started in the early parts, I did think, God, this is just kind of plodding. And I'm like, God, get to it. But it did very much pick up, and the pace picked up, and it got fun. You know, the xenomorphs, the facehuggers, all that was cool. It was, you know, cool to see. I don't feel like that they really, you know, I don't feel like they did anything super revolutionary for the franchise. I feel like they stayed in line with what's there and everything else. I have one gripe about one line in the movie that I'm not going to say because it's not really spoilery. It doesn't give away a plot, but I didn't really like them using this line just because of the importance in the franchise. But we'll discuss that another point. But you know, I thought the movie was okay. Again, I thought it was a little long, and I don't think that's just me, you know, kind of being the old man there, you know, shouting at clouds. I think there was a lot of unproductive time in the movie that really didn't need to be in there. I was super excited to see it. It didn't really, you know, it didn't disappoint me too much, but it didn't blow me away as much as I hoped. I don't know. It didn't really have anything super creative about it that just set it out as this super spectacular entry into the franchise for me. It was a fun movie. It was an enjoyable movie, a beautiful movie, but I didn't feel blown away by it, which is what I had hoped for something like this. But it's definitely a movie that, you know, if I'm rewatching the franchise, it's not like I'm gonna be disgruntled and you know, kick dirt because I'm unhappy about where you're watching it. So, but again, it just left me a little underwhelmed. But given given my expectations for it, I don't know that it could not have. I mean, I was just so stoked to see it, and it had high hopes. So, what did you think of Alien Romulus?
Well, you know, I'll say first and foremost, I did enjoy it. Just as a general statement, I thought that, you know, it was a pretty decent film. Like you said, the stylization of the film very much fitted into the time period of in between the first two movies. Before I get too far on that track, I do want to just drop a small note that, you know, going into this movie, I talked to Kayla because she's seen Alien, but it's been a long time. And the only other Alien movie I think she's seen purposefully was Prometheus. And so I she was like, you know, where does this movie fall, like, in the timeline? You know, what do I need to watch before this movie? And I was like, realistically, I said, as long as you've seen Alien, you know, you should be fine. Is kind of what I thought. And so, you know, she made sure that she had the knowledge of Alien. But there were some nods in this film to Prometheus and subsequently Alien Covenant as well. Which was cool. But in any case, you know, this is very interesting that, like, we kind of have, like, this this running tab of, like, you need to watch these movies before you watch this movie. And then,
yeah.
But anyway, movie was good. Like you said, I did think it was a little too long. You know, for those of us who are wrestling fans, it's had a lot of false finishes. You know, there's only so many times you can hit the Stone Cold Stunner before it gets boring, and that's kind of how this movie felt. It's like you thought that they had finished the movie, Stone Cold Stunner, and then you're like, okay, great. Oh, wait, no, we're back. Stone Cold Stunner, we're done. Okay, great. Third time around, Stone Cold Stunner. It's okay, yeah. It just kept happening. I felt like they were trying to drag the movie out longer than they needed it to. One of the
are we sure Rob Zombie didn't direct it?
Right, for real though.
Oh, no, no, wait. What's her name? What's her name? Wasn't in it. What's her name?
Moon Zombie, yeah.
Yeah, whatever her name is. She wasn't in it that we know of, so.
Right. But, you know.
Unless she played a xenomorph.
True. She could have. But, you know, other than the length, and I think I know what phrase you're referencing, like it was a nod to one of the other movies. I do think it was fan service, but yeah. I liked it personally. I thought it was funny. But, you know, I like the concept of the film. I like the characters. As most of the Alien movies do, they do deal with at least, like, one synthetic organism, which in this case is the character, what's his name? Andy.
Yeah.
And Andy was a cool character. It was very interesting to kind of see a more human and innocent synthetic in an Alien franchise. Just because, you know, historically the synthetics have not been very, very good, very nice people. They've usually been very much, you know, for instance, I can't remember the guy who plays them, but the synthetic and Prometheus and Alien Covenant are both, I would say that generally speaking, they're evil because of the actions. But yeah, I mean, outside
of course, the synthetic in the first one.
Basically, because the mission prior, what was his name? Mm-hmm. Rook? Was that right in the first one?
No, he was Ash in the first one.
Which one was Ash? Was Rook in the second one, Aliens?
No, Rook was in this movie.
Oh, Rook. Shit.
Yeah, you're giving away the spoiler that I didn't want to give away.
Oh, damn. My bad, guys. That's my bad. Well, okay, so Ash in the original one, right? He was the first chest burst, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, okay. My bad.
It was,
my
oopsie, yeah, whoopsie. Ash in the first one, played by Ian Holmes, was the synthetic. But in the first movie, we don't know he's a synthetic through much of the movie.
Right, that's right, because he kind of goes and talks to Mother, mm-hmm. and he's, like, talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know, this is that, and then they don't really know that, like, he's turning against them quite yet until the end, I believe.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, my bad, guys. My bad. But to be fair, you know pretty much right away, as soon as, because I recognized the body of the synthetic as soon as it started, so You'll recognize it pretty quickly.
And it all occurs pretty early in the movie. So
it does. I would say it's pretty inconsequential for the grand scheme of things, but that is my bad. But to be fair, when you start watching this, you do know that we're going to possibly spoil the movie. So,
yeah, we give the warnings, but we try to avoid some. But
right.
Again, that doesn't. I mean, that does not give away any huge plot aspect of the movie.
Oh no,
or anything, so
nothing crazy. But one thing I will add to this that I didn't really like, and I won't spoil it entirely, but obviously with most of the Alien movies, there's always some kind of like twist, right? And the twist of this movie I liked, but it felt reminiscent of another Alien movie where they kind of did a similar thing. I think, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Dave. Specifically, I believe it's Alien Resurrection, the fourth one.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen that one, and I've probably only seen it once.
Right.
So it had a similar twist to it, do you think?
Let me just say that the twist... And I'll say it very broadly and vaguely, so that way it doesn't potentially ruin anything. The concept of a xenomorph human hybrid has been explored in other films and was potentially explored in this film, gotcha, is what I'm getting at. So I don't necessarily like the treading of old ground in that regard, but at the same time, you know, it did kind of seem like a logical conclusion to some degree. But what I think really set this movie apart was the tone and the way that the stylization of the movie. It seems sort of like that old space trucker kind of vibe where, you know, they're working in the mines and like their technology seems futuristic but also old at the same time. Yeah. So I think they did a good job in that regard.
Yeah, it kind of had the Firefly feel, right?
It did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would say that's my primary beef would be the reoccurring themes and then the length and the just repeated like, oh, we're going to finish now. No, we're not. We're going to finish now. And just, oh, I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and I think those kind of, you know, if you put all that together, that's kind of why I felt a little underwhelmed. I guess I hoped for a little more originality in it. And I don't know why I thought that when it was placed between two existing movies.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's because, you know, we've had a decent run of these prequel type movies here recently who have really been creative in how they're approached and how they do things where it's not just, oh, we you know where you're going to wind up. So it's just blah to get there. They really make it intriguing, make it interesting. So I guess maybe I was hoping for a bit more Titan here. And there, I mean, you know, there was a little bit, but I don't know. I think I enjoyed the movie, but I think overall I was a little underwhelmed. And again, some of that may purely just be because I did have really high expectations because I do love the Alien franchise. So, so all right then. Well, let's rate this sucker. You know, I think I'm going to have to just give it a 3 out of 5. I don't think there's enough here for me to bump it up anymore. It's kind of a middle. I did enjoy it. I would rewatch it, but I just don't feel like there's quite enough for me to say, yeah, I really, really liked it. Given some of the movies recently, I've given 3.5 to, I just think this is just a touch below those. So I'm giving it just a middle of the old ground, 3 out of 5 screams for me. So Ike, what are you rating it?
You know, so to provide some clarity, because I do like this movie a lot. I do think it is. So to kind of put into perspective on like some of the other movies, like for instance, like Prometheus, I would give Prometheus probably a 4 because I think Prometheus is really good. Alien, I'd probably give like a 4.5 because Alien is just pretty, I mean, it's pretty incredible film. I mean, it is revolutionary in almost every way. You know, I really like Aliens. I really like, you know, Alien Covenant. Alien Covenant, not as so much. So, like, in comparison to the other films and where I kind of gauge my likingness of this film, I do think I would put this at, like, a 3.5 for myself. Just because, like, for instance, Alien Covenant, I would give Alien Covenant a 3. but like I like this movie more than I liked Alien Covenant, so I would logically put this at about a 3.5.
All right. Yeah, there you go. So a average of 3.25.
3.25.
Screams from Us. That is Alien Romulus. Obviously doing big numbers in the box office. Let's see what it does on its second weekend. I suspect it'll still be trucking along. So if you've not seen it, go and check it out while it's still in theaters. It's definitely a movie that, you know, it's fun to watch in the theater, right? It's that big space movie that, you know, those are the kind of movies that are best in theaters to watch, as opposed to at home. Not saying that, you know, that can't be enjoyable at home, especially with modern systems and whatnot, but you know, these are the movies made for the theater. So, all right, like we said earlier, next week we are going to review Stream, which has a limited theater run that began on August 21st. So depending on when you're listening to this, if it's not over yet, like I said, we think it's out there for 5 days, depending on your area. Check it out and see if you can still see it. You can go to tinyurl.com/streamtickets to see if those are still available. If you're outside that window, then, oh, too bad. And I would venture to guess this will probably get released on video on demand or to perhaps to Screambox fairly quickly, though. I assume this is still kind of their partnering with Screambox, like they do with the Terrifier movies. But we'll see. So anyway, next episode, we'll be reviewing Stream. But before we get there, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and all of you listeners and followers for all your support and your interactions and making it enjoyable for us to get on here and bullshit and ramble and talk about Disney and Nickelodeon and horror movies and whatever else that we want to talk about. And hopefully you enjoyed that. So right, before we close and get out of here, anything else you want to add?
Definitely not on topic, but you know, guys, two things. First and foremost, if you vote, do it now. If it's your time to do so, and in November, make sure you vote. You know, it's your civic duty, and you know, just you want to make sure that your voice is heard. So I like to encourage people to do that. Also, if you happen to die at the hands of Disney, make sure you didn't sign the arbitration clause by joining Disney Plus or any of their other platforms, because apparently you can go to their parks, potentially die, and you can't sue them if they did something wrong. So I guess that's up to you. That's up to you, folks.
Yeah. If you die at the hands of Disney because you listen to our podcast, then oops, our bad. We're sorry. Yeah.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to the non-arbitration clause.
Your survivors will not hold us accountable.
Correct.
For anything that happens to you. And you also cannot hold us accountable for any nauseated feelings you have after listening to us.
Absolutely.
All right. Anyway, it is time. I'm super excited about Stream. Guys, if it's, like I said, if you can still go see it, go, as they say, join the stream. Go watch it. If not, then when it comes out, even if you didn't go see it, when it comes out, you know, video on demand or digitally or streaming, however it comes out, make sure you support it then. As you do all these movies, we've talked about it earlier, support all the horror movies. If you've not seen Alien Romulus, go hit the theater and watch it. But until next week, wherever you go and wherever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.